Yeah, you gotta love it. Judas Priest.
Love Judas Priest.
We all know what memories can bring. They bring diamonds and rust.
Diamonds and rust. The Rusty Razor's back.
Yeah, man.
He had the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
Jake's back. Snake's back. Gino's going to play at some point.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And Big Jeff Carter. It's and everything's rolling.
Look at these penguins.
And so many people nationally refuse to talk about them because they're all jealous, Frage.
Well,
but not on this show.
No, and you know what? Now you're really going to roll because you hung in there pretty tough without those guys.
It was amazing. And it's all Coach Sullivan, really.
Yeah, he did a great job. You got to admit. Guys, it is time for Puck Off. And producer Aaron and I are off the IR. Happy New Year to all of our Puck Off fans. And Joe Barton is here. Andy Picaro, guys. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Back in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hockey's being played again, it seemed like. You know.
Well, that was too bad that the junior tournament got called off.
Just feel bad for those kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing Team Germany take a picture at center ice before they flew home. And then did you see the Russians weren't wearing their masks on the plane, so they all got thrown off?
Oh, I heard
and
that.
And they were on the same flight as the Czech team. So the Czech team got thrown off the flight too because they couldn't differentiate like the gray sweatsuits. Oh. They all had the same sweatsuits on. So they just threw all the hockey players off the plane.
Wow.
And so they had to stay an extra couple of days. Got yelled at.
Wow.
But yeah, it stinks. It actually made me watch the 1991 World Juniors, Bure versus a 17-year-old Lindros.
Oh man!
I watched that final game instead of watching the actual juniors.
Well, it was off to a good start too. It was exciting. You know,
it was.
Well, now the guys are going to go. Some of the big boys are going.
Are they?
The
big,
the good kids are going to go.
Are they going
to the Olympics?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Which,
okay,
of course, is now completely canceled for the NHL. I don't know where we stood on that when we left last week.
I think it was officially canceled.
It was already done.
Yeah.
Just keeping score. That means Ovi, Gino, nothing medal wise in the Olympics. Rat, Stamkos, Hedman, nothing.
Wow.
We've all won enough in real life, as I like to say.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. And someone put Roman Yossi into that. It's like Sesame Street. Which one doesn't fit? Ovi, Gino, Rat, Stamkos, Hedman, Yossi.
I'd say Rat.
Really?
No. Well,
Roman Yossi. Come on. He's one of the most overrated players in the NHL.
He really produces, though. I mean, he's on the top end of production. That's the thing. Defensively, I think that we can pick on him very easily. But offensively, he does score a lot. His power play points are through the roof. He really scores a lot for Nashville. If Nashville didn't have him, they have a lot less goals.
Well, I'll tell you, Nashville looked good yesterday against the Vegas Golden Knights. Philip Forsberg owning Alex Pietrangelo.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, I think Nashville
I think
could
the
be
Preds
bit,
look pretty good, actually.
I think they could be for real a little bit this year.
They're in first place.
And they're not going to have Pekka Rinne with the meltdown April and May. You know, Saros has always been good. They're, you know, watch out for Smashville.
Yeah, they're surprisingly good.
They really have a whole new, you know, that Tanner Jeannot and that Trenin guy. They got some guys that throw you around a little bit.
Yeah, they're tough.
You know,
they're
and
tough.
Maybe the other guys are going to play. I mean, they lost Arvidsson to the Kings, but now that they have, it seems like Phil Forsberg woke up. Maybe, you know, Johansson woke up. You never know.
Yeah, we kind of had them in the middle of the pack there, but
they didn't have them making the playoffs.
They've done well.
Yeah,
they've done well.
Yeah, I mean they certainly could, and I think that the West is kind of it's more interesting, more wide open. I saw a projection that said that you're going to need 95 points in the East to make the playoffs. You're going to need 90 in the West. So kind of the West has a lot of teams still in the mix. I think the East has a lot of teams we can officially bury. I think the East has a lot of teams that are done. The West is going to be interesting for a while as far as who makes it in the seedings.
It's interesting, though, who you want to bury because, you know, there's a lot of games at hand for the Islanders. And, you know, of all people, I heard E.J. Raddick recently kind of burying the Islanders. And he's an Islander guy. And he was saying how, like, you know, what we called a year ago, the defense, they lost Dobson, they're too old. And I thought he made a great point that, you know, they lost Devin Taves on a salary dump. And it's like, they probably should have lost one of the best fourth line in hockey guys.
They should have let. I mean, should let
Clutterbuck go.
Yeah.
I think Matt Martin is cheap, and Matt Martin is the New York Islanders. But you couldn't find Casey Cizikas. How'd they lose Devin Taves?
But I think your take last week that they've just gotten older.
That too. That's a maybe. Yeah.
There's also some good players, but they are,
Frazier. We've been together 9 years. What do I always say? I want my fourth line living in a hotel next to the practice.
There
facility.
You go. You always say that.
And all those guys are working on their beach house.
Yeah.
And they've been great for almost a decade, but probably time to move. Definitely, you got to keep Devin Taves over one of those guys.
Some other guys are going to go that have been there a long time.
It's going to be a great yard sale. But that's what I mean about the East. I don't know who I'd want to, say is completely done.
Well,
in the East,
it's weird because
I don't think Detroit's completely done.
Well, no, I don't.
No, I completely.
But I think
Boston just passed.
Philly's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're
Couturier now out.
Buffalo's definitely done. Obviously, they did better than we ever. Props to Buffalo for not being absolutely terrible like we thought they were, but they're definitely done.
Yeah.
So and I just think there's less in the West. I was trying to look at the
Rangers look good, don't they?
Oh, the Devils are done.
Yeah, the Devils are done. It's gonna be a weird yard sale.
Blue
for
Jackets
the Devils.
Are done.
Well, I never thought they were ever close, but they're within spitting range.
They are, but the weird thing is that if they don't end up in the division, when you look at the teams that have the wild card points, they have big leads on the Flyers and the Blue Jackets. I think I saw the other day, as of a few nights ago, the Flyers and Blue Jackets have to go 35-15 or so the rest of the season to get to that 95-point mark. So they'd have to really have a tear, win 2 out of 3 the rest of the year.
Oh, no, I agree. But I would have said they were done in August.
You like, did, and I didn't. No, I had a minute.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just saying that there's a chance if, heaven forbid, a couple guys on, Rangers and the Penguins get hurt. I just don't think Columbus is completely a red hot goaltending issue. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're not completely done.
No,
is all I'm saying.
They're about to be 20 points behind the Rangers, Caps, and Hurricanes, though.
But it's more like, where are they? I don't think anyone's catching. I think actually this would be the puck off bowl. I almost think if the Penguins flutter around with whatever happens, I think it's Penguins and Detroit Red Wings for the final spot, right?
It could be.
Well, I think right it's there. I think it's the Bruins and somebody else, I think.
You think Detroit drops off?
No, I don't think they're going to drop off far enough where, like, you're in April, we're not still talking about their. They're 2 points out with 4 games to play, but if the Penguins win twice, I think it's that close for them.
Well, it's the Bruins, Penguins, and Wings, and that's going to be two of those three will make it. It's gonna, that's who's going to be left out.
Right.
That is the all things comedy rooting trio. It's kind of odd that that's
the boss and us.
Yeah. So
what about the Kings? Do the Kings get in?
I don't know. I'm not as high on the Kings. I'm a little bit. They seem to just be a little bit below the cut.
They do, but again, this is why I love the West. Literally, the Kraken and the Coyotes and probably the Blackhawks are the only teams out of it. Thankfully, to Juicy Brucey, he brought the Canucks back to life.
Wow. How about that?
Every team in the Pacific is in it besides the Kraken. They're not going to make it.
And the best of the thing about the Kraken is they're like they score in the first period less than anybody. Because you know why? Because Hackstall can never get them to play. What an absolute disgrace.
I love Ronnie, but I don't love the way he picked that team. I don't want a Monday morning quarterback that team, but I don't love the way he picked it. His big signing was Grubauer. It's not working out. Last in the league in save percentage, the Kraken.
They went for analytics because, they're from Seattle and they want to be the woke analytics team. It's like they got no one to score goals and crack skulls.
No.
Yeah.
And what did Vegas go out and do besides Flower?
They had Gallant,
but they got guys to score goals and crack skulls. And that's professional hockey. You score goals and you crack skulls. And they got an idiot coach. Yeah, I love Ronnie, but maybe he'll be assistant GMing for the Penguins in a couple years. I don't know. They can buy everybody out in Seattle. So, that was terrible. He did a terrible job of hiring that coach.
Not only coaching, I think drafting. I think the players left on the board, and I think the players that he brought in, he was so obsessed with leaving salary cap money, and then he used all that money on a goalie that's not saving anything.
But we can look at that roster, and okay, I'm not saying that Mike Sullivan and Gerard Gallant are going to get the best out of that team. But Mike Yeo would have that team playing better than they are now.
They should definitely.
You know what I mean? I mean, Frage. Stand with that beautiful new coat on, sitting behind the bench.
I could do it with this Chatham Maroons jacket.
We'd have them come out in the first period and not lay eggs every week. I mean, they're pretty much a disgrace.
Yeah. What would you do if you were them, besides fire the coach?
That's the first thing I would do. Just think if Barbecue Bruce came in.
Well, look what he's done. We got to talk about that. He's been amazing. 8-0-1,
Demko 7 straight. Now, wow. Obviously, when Demko's hot, you're going to look like, you know, Toe Blake.
Yeah, but still. Yeah, but still, that's amazing.
You got everybody playing. No one's looking, hey, where's Horvat going to go? Where's Besser going to go? What happened to Pet? No one's talking about
it. No, let's keep all those guys. We're looking good.
Let's keep all those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Can they make the playoffs? No.
I think so.
They can? They can.
Here's a big one, though. Max Comtois, my boy, is back with the Duckies. It's a big piece to get back for the Ducks. No one's been hurt for the Duckies.
Duckies have been amazing. Yeah. Had an amazing year so far. Yeah.
I mean, someone has to fall. That's the problem with Vancouver. When you dig yourself that big of a hole, someone's got to fall.
It's a long way to come back. What about Duckies? Do they hold?
I think the Duckies are going to
hold. They're in good shape right now. I mean, if they keep playing well, if they keep playing 600 hockey, they'll make it. You know what I mean? Like maybe even just above 500 hockey, they make it. I mean, you know, let's face it,
they're young, they're hungry, they got an owner that'll spend money, and you know, they can get somebody, they can tweak a line here, pick up a couple guys down the stretch, because they're all young. They don't need draft picks.
No, all those guys are young, which is amazing. They're going to be good for a while.
I mean, maybe Jason Zucker could refine his career. I wouldn't even wish that on the people of Orange County.
No, I don't. I think Zucker's. I think they got to buy him out at the end of this season. I think that's where that story ends.
It's going to end somewhere, hopefully. All right, we have a very special guest, former co-host of
Unhealthy Scratch
with Andy Picaro. Andy Picaro's first hockey podcast. The great Colin Chamberlain, who has a new album coming out.
First of all, speaking of unhealthy scratches, Zadina, unhealthy scratch in Detroit.
It means they're playing really well if they can scratch him.
Yeah, I can't. That was weird to me.
I think he's young, and I think that, you know, every once in a while you send a shot to a kid. Who knows? Maybe we might have been dogging it at practice. I mean, that's with the young team. That's where I used to watch Therrien and not know some of the moves he was doing. But they were young. He was, you know, beating them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Plus, sometimes you scratch the guys that you can. Like, say he wasn't happy with Bertuzzi and Zadina. You can't scratch Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
It's an international incident. No,
yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
Sometimes you got to scratch the guys you can.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, who would have thought Blashill would be doing this great of a job?
He's done really well.
I mean, this is the jump I thought they would have made. Well, I called it 2 years ago prematurely just because I wanted to push everybody else down. But last year, I legitimately thought this would be where they were at. And now they really are. The problem with the Red Wings is the four teams ahead of them aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. And Andy always said they're not quite there. And I don't think they are.
I just think youth-wise.
Yeah, they need maybe one or two more pieces still, I think.
And also the teams ahead of them. I think Boston, being amazed they're extending their window. When Boston kind of drops, this year is kind of symbolic. When Boston drops out of that window, Detroit plunks into it in that division.
I'll tell you what was interesting was I was watching Boston try to salt away that game with the salt away the game. And I kept thinking I was seeing Char out there, but he wasn't out there. Like, I still watch, when I watch Boston, I still think everyone's Chara. And
It's really weird seeing him wear the Islander jersey again. It's very bizarre.
All right, here we go. Hopefully, Mr. Chamberlain. There he is. You guys see Colin?
Oh, there he is.
How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
Colin Chamberlain, first of all, to get your plug in now, what is your CD or your album, your CD, your 8-track tape? What's coming out on Friday?
Coming out on Friday. It's called Hello, It's Me. It's available on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify, Pandora, and the full special will be up on my YouTube channel as well.
Good for you. That's exciting, man.
Colin's hilarious. We'll be in Philadelphia together at the beginning of February.
Oh, cool.
We're bringing we're bringing the Penguin Nation to Philly. Well, we always do good in Philly, so we can't wait for them to come out.
I'm going
to
put it on my YouTube as well for free. The whole thing, uncut.
All right.
So just go. If you don't want to pay, just head over to Andy Pagaro's YouTube. I got it all up there.
Haven't enough people on the show been hacked enough these last 2 weeks?
Yeah, come on.
First of all, quick thoughts on the Penguin. How great is the feeling in the Penguin Nation right now? Are you feeling the love?
The Penguin Nation. Yeah, I feel good. I just saw the Nylander deal today. I dig it. I went through, actually, right before this, I went through the comment section of the Pittsburgh Penguins Facebook page and read the comments of the Nylander-Lafferty deal. And it's split right now in Penguins Nation. Half the people think this is the worst thing we've done for the franchise and we will not recover from acquiring Nylander, and the other half think this is great. We got rid of Sam Lafferty, who was horrible for the team. He was a locker room cancer. We're so glad we did this. I think probably somewhere in the middle lies the truth, where this really doesn't make any difference at all. It's just to clear some cap space, and it doesn't matter. But yeah, Penguins Nation, you know them, Joe and Andy. It's hell or high water for them.
Yeah, you're breaking the news. We didn't even talk about that yet. the trade.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's fine. For those who, Sam Lafferty went for the other Nylander, Alex Nylander, right, who's been traded around a few times. I was always a big Sam Lafferty fan, way more than Andy. But, you know, I just think give him Lafferty for a six pack. I'd rather have the $800,000 to go get somebody else. Well, you know, Nylander's not going to become Guy Lafleur. So I'd rather have the 800 right. grand.
From what I read, he's been in the AHL like all year too, and so I think that we're not going to see him in a Penguins jersey. I think that it was, you know, just these guys will play in the AHL. I'm not so sure Lafferty's going to get a Hawks jersey either.
He'll get a Hawks. I've watched a lot of Hawks games. He'll get a Hawks jersey. But, I mean, he can't beat up Drew O'Connor, though.
Yeah,
on the Penguins, Nylander, he's not beating out Drew O'Connor.
I'm just saying, I think this was guys that are eventually going to be waived, and I don't want to say don't matter, but these are AHL bounce up and down guys. It's kind of a neutral trade, and I think Lafferty took too many penalties. All he did was hit, and in Pittsburgh, people cry when people who hit are traded. That's what Pittsburgh people do. Remember, Tanev played so great with tenacity, scored 12 goals, but he played with tenacity. People get very upset when our mean guys leave, but that's all he was mean in the corners. He really just was spastic in his own zone.
Now, how about the Rangers? You're in New York City right now. Your thoughts on the New York Rangers?
My thoughts on the New York Rangers. Here's my thoughts on the New York Rangers. I saw Henrik Lundqvist retweet a video the other day of his own highlights and go, oh, that's right, the New York Rangers. That's my thoughts on the New York Rangers. I'm excited for the New York Rangers because in March, the Penguins will be at the Garden, I believe, playing the Rangers. So that will be my first game at the Garden that I've ever been to. And I'm excited to see that. But no, I know it's weird because I live in Queens. So I'm in between Islanders fans and Rangers fans. And between the two of them, I am just happy that I grew up a Penguins fan because it's sad, you know. It's sad, I think, in these some of these places. No, but
you're selling the special well.
I'm selling the special well. Yeah, I'm only trying to
shots across the bow to all demo. Ranger and I.
Yeah. What other huge market do you hate? I'm gonna take down Chicago and LA.
Hang
next.
On a second. I don't think I insulted Chicago and LA enough. Let me.
How much do you hate Dallas
market.
Cowboy fans?
No, here's a good market now. Alexander Ovechkin, 275 power play passes Dave Anderchuk. Now, I remember we did something underrated guys. We wish we not underrated, but guys we could see more of. And I said Anderchuk. Imagine how great Dave Anderchuk was. Ovi just finally passed him.
Oh, he was a great player.
Yeah. Ovechkin. I mean, he had just as many power play goals as. I mean, I'm.
Well, the net front presence guy, you know what I mean? I think we always think of Holmstrom as being like the number one net front. But I mean, really, like, he was like Cicerelli. He just went down to where the puck was. He was on great teams that had star players that moved the puck well, and he got to the front of the net, and he took advantage of it a lot. And I think that, you know, I remember him being on cup-winning teams he wasn't on. That's how, like, much I remember him winning the cup as a kid. What do you have, three or four? I can't even remember. They're all with different teams. It was like everywhere he went, he won with really skilled teams. It was impressive. He was on the number one unit sometimes.
Are you sure? I thought that he had won his first—I thought he just won one in Tampa, and that was his first one. And that was the big cause celeb was to win one for Andrejczyk.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, I get him and Nieuwendyk mixed up in my head. Okay. Right. Nieuwendyk's the one that won three.
It's funny because you brought up to me the official Netfront presence of the – like, you know how Jerry West is the logo?
Yeah.
I always thought the Netfront presence was Dino Cicerelli.
Cicerelli, come on.
And Cicerelli did it when you had to be a man. Not taking nothing away from anybody.
Yeah.
Especially Holmstrom, who still did it in the era where you had to be a man. But
Cicerelli was awesome.
Holmstrom was twice as big as Cicerelli was.
Oh, yeah. Cicero was a little guy, and he hung in there.
Remember the Stars used to put Darian Hatcher out front?
Yeah. Well, hey, go ahead.
Colin, I was going to ask, what do you think about Gino coming back?
I like it. I love that. I know you've probably talked about this already, but that quote where he said, everybody's so worried about the contract and what they're going to do with him and stuff. And he goes, listen, I'm a rich guy. You know, I love that. I know there are people that do not like Malkin and think that, you know, maybe he gets too much credit. But I also think, like, he's the guy who he has decided to play second fiddle in Pittsburgh. And I think that helps his career. And I'm excited. This power play is going to need some love. It needs some juice for sure. I think he's going to provide a good boost for the power play. I think it, again, you know, it obviously adds depth. I mean, we see it more and more in the NHL, especially in the times of COVID. You need every single player that you can that's on your team because you don't know who's going to be unavailable, who's going to be available to you when game time comes to play. I mean, in a few weeks, we might just annex Canada. I think that'll be the next thing that has to happen is that the NHL just annexes Canada and plays the rest of the season without them. But I'm pumped for Gino to come back. I'm a huge Gino fan. I know people get down on him sometimes, but I do think I think some of the things they say is well deserved, you know, the negative things. But I also think people like to hate on him because he's the easy one to go to. You're not going to hate on Crosby, and he's a, you know, a godsend of a player. But I think Malkin sometimes gets the short end of the stick there.
I'm a Gino guy. I'm a complete Sid guy, but I'm also a complete. To me, they're one and two. To me, there's one. There's no this guy or that guy. I love them both equally, and they don't hand out Conn Smythe awards as participation trophies. Right. And Gino won the Conn Smythe in 2009. Yeah, you know exactly.
Right. Yes, yeah.
Frazier still thinks he should have been suspended in game six.
I'm still mad about that. But he's a good player, man.
Can't instigate a fight with under 5 minutes left. That is a rule. I mean, the Detroit fans had a point.
The thing is, this is not a knock on Sid whatsoever, because I think he's maybe the greatest regular human being hockey player. But Gino got that witch gene. That Jager got, that Mario has, that Fedorov had. That's what I that's that extra sexy.
Extra
thing, and that's what Gino. And when Gino gallops through center right, no one does that. No one goes through center when he gets it on the Gino Machino.
And especially him coming off an injury, he usually always plays really well once he's missed a span of time. So for him to come back, I almost wish he was coming back a little later and pull a Cooch. You know what I mean? Have him be fresher for the playoffs, because historically, Malkin's best time is when it matters. I mean, Gino is at his best when there's a seven-game series going on. That's when he's playing his best. So that's when I want him back for. So just hope he's healthy.
Speaking of Gino when playing his best, Mr. November, James Neal, we all called it on this show, waived by the Blues. Actually, I can't believe it. Berube must have been on Adderall or something. Or not Adderall. He must have been taking Xanax for him to last this long with Berube.
Yeah.
What, I mean, is Neal done?
I'm going to pull up his stats.
I don't know. I
I don't think he's done.
He's too good. He's a goal scorer.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
But we keep saying it, and we laugh about it. He's good, so people bring him on, but then they're like, after like a year, they're like, we just don't want it. Well, this year in 17 games, he had 2 goals, 2 assists for 4 points. So that's not really great. If he does get another go, he better have a good year. Because that's, you know, he's got to score goals at least. If you're going to be a pain, score goals.
And that's always been his thing.
Only 2 and 17. Yeah. It's not going to get it done for James.
On the Blazers, too.
Yeah.
A team that can set you up.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, you're not an Ottawa.
There's not a lot of bums on the Blazers.
You make a great point, Joe. Think about the teams he's been on and the people he's had around him. Like, at what point do you just go, I'm just going to stop being a prick for a season and go and get some money and get a cup or something? Like, when you're – I understand if you're Phil Kessel and you're in Arizona, right, and you are – you know, you can just do whatever you want. You can hang out and play poker and eat hot dogs because it's Arizona. It doesn't matter. That's one thing. But when you're playing – I mean, when you're on contending teams and you have someone like Crosby or Malkin who's lining up next to you at the draw – and forget – you know, forget the Penguins, even the other teams he's been on. You have great players around you, and you can't put that aside. Like, at what point do you just, like, this isn't for you. This just isn't for you anymore.
Well,
that's a great point. Yeah. If you can't gear up to play, the Blazers are a nice. I said they're going to do great this year. They really are doing
great. They are doing great.
People are really, people are really like, and you can't even fourth line that. You can't even. You know, put your head down and throw a body check.
He scored 20 goals every year of his career for the first, 11 years, basically. And then he had the year in Calgary, 63 games played, 7 goals. And everyone was like, oh, he might be done. Next year he comes back, scores 19 and 55. And we're all like, oh, okay, there's the James Neal. And then these past 2 years, he had 5 and 29 last year and 2 and 17 this year. I think it's possible he's done. Because there are just not enough goals.
That's somebody, what I'm saying.
It's possible.
Does anybody pick him up?
I think he's done.
Yeah, I think he's going to KHL.
I think he might try to find maybe look to the Sabres next year, or Ottawa or Columbus next year, right?
Yeah,
maybe Jersey because he has some buddies, you know, in the upper, you know, up in the GM issues up there in Jersey. Like, it has to be somewhere where someone will give him one last run. You were nice to my kids at an event. I think him.
Which I don't believe.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, it's really like.
That might be it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, we really thought he was back like a year and a half ago. But yeah, that really could be it for him.
I know. I was happy. I liked the fact Gino liked him and he scored some goals for us. But good riddance. I don't know. I don't like dirty players that don't back it up. And he caused the Penguins a lot of BS because he refused to fight a couple guys when he did some BS. If you want to be full of BS, then drop your gloves and take a few punches to the face. If not, don't do that stuff.
Well, I just remember going into the 2011 playoffs, and he was literally the best player on the roster because Gino and Sid were out. How depressing that was going into that series versus Tampa. And they took him to 7, but if he had done something special in that series, then I would have – kept something for James Neal in my heart, but he didn't.
Well,
he,
that was the whole lost. Thing of another thing about
he
Gino
scored
was
no tea
he tried to come back and play in that series, and they're like, you're going to wreck your knee forever.
Yeah, don't.
speaking of things that are wrecked up maybe forever, who knows, but the Edmonton Oilers now, I hate to do the COVID roll call, but now Jesus is on COVID. The coach and the goaltender are bickering. I watched that Ranger game. Koskinen led up 2 saves. Colin, as a young man, he led up 2 saves that was like if you're playing PlayStation, the puck went through him like it was a glitch in the game. Like, it's like, how's that a goal? I still don't know how he didn't make this one save. It was like it hit him in the crest and went through him. It was like Pulp Fiction when there's bullet holes, but like no one got killed. Like, you know, like what happened? Jules.
I watched that game too. That was, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was one of the worst goaltending things I've ever seen.
And on the flip side, in the 5 games before that, or the six games before that, I think they scored 7 goals.
This
or
is
something
my,
like that.
This
so they're
is,
not scoring. This and, is, they, and they can't, and they can't stop the puck. They're going to lose a lot of games.
This is my point.
Bad.
Tippett said, oh, well, you know, maybe we can get a save now and then, right? So Koskinen says, hey, I didn't play good Monday, but in the last seven games we've played, we've scored six goals. I can't score goals, too.
Yike.
Not wrong.
Yeah. No. You know what? You're both out. They should get Babcock, and they should get Flower.
Well, I mean, and they had poor Mike Smith going the other night, who, again, talk about it might be over. I mean, he keeps coming back from these injuries. He's, what, 42 or whatever?
Yeah, he's getting old. Up
he's
there.
He's in his 40s, isn't yeah. he?
Ben Bishop has a better bill of health
yeah.
than Mike Smith.
Oh, wow.
No, I mean, it's the truth.
He really, he's just collecting checks at this point. I don't think he should be in the league anymore. And
he just doesn't know because he has a Canadian health care plan. So he hasn't seen a doctor in 6 years.
Yeah. Well, if Canadian teams want to trade for people, they better do it soon because isn't the border still going to be weird with trade deadline stuff and quarantine. Well,
that's going
to
be weird.
I think they can come to America.
They can come to America, but can they come there? Edmonton needs help. They better get it soon.
Colin made it funny, and I'm sick of bashing Canada, but they're really ruining hockey. They're ruining hockey right now.
They're ruining their teams.
It is just wild to see, like, I mean, the NFL and the NBA continue to play and figure out a way to do this. Like, what is going on in the NHL? Is there not enough money and enough, you know, people with vested interest in this league to continue to keep this game going? I just don't understand how you can figure out how to do this in two other huge leagues and not be able to figure this out in the NHL.
It's the Canadian government. It's 100%. Because the thing is, the players, they owe like 3 years worth of back. It would escrow,
yeah.
So they don't want to play in front of nobody in Canada,
right? Yeah,
because it's like they're playing for free.
Well, you know, the owners have said that everyone's saying that's like a no-go, and that's why all these Canadian games are not being played. They TSN paid the Maple Leafs to play two games in front of nobody because they needed to air those games, so they couldn't lose them. So TSN pitched in to help out financially. Wow. So, but it's amazing that within a day, we had a game that was an outdoor classic that had, what, like 70,000 people in it? And a couple hundred miles north, they had to play in an empty arena in front of no one. It makes no sense.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
It's all about the provincial governments in Canada being basically their own country, and they're making the craziest rules. Like in Quebec, there's a curfew. How can you have a hockey game? You got to be home at 9:30.
You
can't.
And like I said before, you know, it's like they're 22-year-old athletes. They're going to live. They're all vaccinated.
Well, they haven't had a curfew since the Rocket Richard riot.
I know.
Speaking of arenas, the Calgary organization in flux now. Their new arena is not going to be built. Could Calgary be moving to Kansas City?
I mean, they definitely need a new one. Saddledome was flooded, and they had to it's been bad there. I don't think that the city of Calgary can afford to lose their 42 nights a year of parking garages and parking lots being filled and restaurants going. The city will figure out a way to keep them. Canada hates spending public money, but they might have to.
There you go. It's a great point. I have a couple more things. One thing is Miles Wood has been out for the season for New Jersey. I love that guy. He'd be such a great pickup for us. And here's something I need to get Colin in on. Because it's harder and harder for me to do these awards, and we're going to keep calling for the awards, no music, is I thought Andy, you always say, well, ESPN wants the fights. They don't show the fights on In the Crease either. I stop watching the On the Fly all the time. I start watching In the Crease on ESPN Plus to try to get the fights and the violence for the awards. There are some great fights the last couple of days. They weren't on In the Crease at all.
Wow.
What are they doing?
Yeah, I follow hockey fights on Instagram. There's a hockey fights page that puts every single one up, and that's how I watch them.
Yeah, well, that's on that's on the old school. What's regular? Like the page.
Yeah, and they have an Instagram account that puts up everyone. Yeah. I don't really watch a lot of the hockey coverage. I watch the games and I think about it to myself because honestly, a lot of it annoys me. Unless it's Torts doing his old man yelling at the cloud stuff, I don't really watch a lot of it.
But you were saying that you think they're letting the linesmen letting them play, letting them fight longer, more violence in the game. You said ESPN, Turner kind of like it. Then why isn't Linda Cohn showing it every night?
I don't know. But it is up so dramatically that maybe they were like, hey, let's take the foot off the pedal a little bit. Because it was up like 100% at one point.
Yeah, no.
Like 20 games in.
I wish that I want to see it. I mean, and I'm not even in the Neanderthal. But if you're going to fight, let me see it on the highlights. No, this job's hard enough, Frage. Yeah. I'm looking through box scores every morning.
How do you think ESPN's doing in general on it, on hockey?
Well, it's tough because everything's gone streaming. Streaming doesn't have to report ratings, so everything is tough to tell how well anything's doing. But I think that ESPN is Disney. Disney is ESPN. I mean, it's just another massive thing they own. I think it's good for the league, and at Disney, you'll know if it's good for them in 10 years. Well, I don't know.
Here's exactly what it is. It's cheaper now to watch all the hockey games. It's just harder to find them all. It used to be on my cable or DirecTV, I buy the package, and then because I have my local channels for the Ducks and the Kings, and then that's it. They're all right there. If I want to watch an old game, I can go on NHL.com and do it, or either or.
Right.
Now, most of them are on ESPN Plus, but some of them are on Hulu. Some of them are on TNT. Some of them are here, and you get what you pay for. And this whole thing of ESPN being, oh, now hockey be on ESPN. It's not. They showed women's basketball highlights. Did they not have coverage of paint drying somewhere? I mean, like, they just bought it so that they have people have to buy ESPN Plus now
for the streaming. Because
It's like the MMA. They know who the fans are that are going to pay the money. So that's, they got all the hockey fans now, and it fills up their feed. It gives them more stuff to have online. It doesn't mean they're on SportsCenter now more. It doesn't mean they're on regular ESPN where I think they got the Penguins on once this week because it's sitting, you know, maybe Geno. But it's like, that's all. It's like, it's just one game a week. I said last year, we're going to rue the day that it's not Catherine Tappan. And I miss it on NBC every night. I really do. It was better.
Yeah.
You remember the days of Versus? Do you remember Versus?
Oh, yeah, I remember Outdoor Life.
OLN.
I remember USA Network, the original, before they had, you know, reruns of CSI New York every 10 minutes. It was on, you know, it was on ESPN. Yeah. You know, I remember Sports Channel before you were born. Mario Lemieux was on Sports Channel.
I think I remember watching an old Islander game, an old finals game on USA Network. Yeah, USA's had the games for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that the one thing I do enjoy is Tockett, Bissonette, and Wayne and those guys. I do like watching them. But, yeah, I really think the hockey coverage, we were hoping it would make a turn for the better because it just kept sliding down since the days of when Melrose wasn't old. And, you know, back when it was really fun in the late 90s, it just has never gotten back to that.
Well,
I don't think it will.
Yeah, and I love Levy. I love Butchie. The bottom line is this is nothing against anyone that works for ESPN. This is about the corporation.
Yeah,
Levy. I love Barry. I love Bucci. It's just I wish it was just TNT once a week with Tockett and Biz and Wayne, and the rest was NBC. I wish that was take TNT's check and then take NBC's check. Because it's not going to be on regular NBC. It's not going to be on regular ABC like it was on regular ABC, those big games. Remember, the big games were on regular NBC.
Yeah, yeah.
You know why? Because they got the NBA. And there's no way that they're going to put, you know, whoever, the Minnesota Wild on instead of LeBron.
No.
In May.
No.
No.
It
is going for the difference. Going from broadcast to streaming, essentially. Like, a lot of us thought when we saw the deal that it meant ABC and ESPN would be airing the games, but it meant, like you said, it'll now just be stored on their super app that everyone needs. If you like tennis, if you like MMA, whatever you like, it's on this app, and so it's just directing us to it. But you know what? You come from an era, Joe, where not every game was even televised. So seriously, for hockey fans to complain as much as we do about maybe missing a game here or there, it is kind of silly. I understand you want to see them all, but I mean, some comments about people who are like, I'll never buy Hulu, and they just freak out about it. And it's like, maybe, you know, listen to the radio side on that one. Give Borky a listen.
Well, I absolutely plug for Borky and Getzloff. Oh. But no, but you know, like, I have to watch the games for my, you know, job at DVE. I got to see all the games.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's people like Stan Saverin, the Godfather. People like my dad. It's the Penguins are on. It's Friday. They're playing. They played a big game the other Friday. I forget who it was. It wasn't the Rangers. It was a big. Oh, Capitals. Only on ESPN Plus. What's my dad? My dad sits down with a cocktail. So much the Penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
you know, Joe, do you know how many times I've had the generation of Chamberlain men I'm trying to find the Penguin game for every week? Because What happens is my dad calls me because he's on the other line with my grandfather. So I'm trying to find the Penguin games for three generations of Chamberlain men. I'm like, has anyone looked on AT&T Sportsnet? You know, like, it is insane. Are you, am I supposed to set up my grandfather with an iPad? I agree. I think it has to give that's the thing is, like, when you have these older fans, like Joe's dad, my dad, who's 900 years old, I think, you know, when you have stuff like that, like, you give these people their games, for God's sake. Like, I can figure out how to watch a game on my iPhone. You know, my dad cannot. He cannot, as much as I love him. And if he can't, my grandfather, unless I go with my iPhone to my dad and grandfather's house and we all sit around and watch it together, they're going to miss the game.
Yeah, and it's just crushing your fan base is what it's doing.
Right.
And the only thing is that'll be cool is whenever the owners of the Red Sox and the Penguins just put up their own mega thing, and it's just all Penguins, Rangers, Penguins games, Red Sox games, and Liverpool United. Then I'll buy that channel, right?
Yeah, there you go.
That's all I'll need, I guess.
Oh, boy, that could be coming. No, but I do think, though, this deal with ESPN was great for the league. The owners needed it, I mean, especially after COVID. So if it means a few people are confused game day, oh, well, we got a lot more money.
I understand that. I understand it was great for the finances. I just think it really kind of...
No, you're right.
It's another kick in the teeth to the fans. Like, hey, it was great when all the luxury boxes are sold out. It's just not great when you can't bring your kids for less than $300.
No, that's all true.
You know? Yeah. So why are the seats down front empty, but the upper decks are full? All right. A couple more fun ones here. Did you see this? The Nadia Popovichki. She's a Seattle Kraken fan. Was at the game. Noticed the trainer of the Vancouver Canucks had a weird thing on the back of his neck. She took a picture of it and said, you should get this checked out. Turns out it was cancer.
Cancer, yeah.
Saved the trainer's life in Vancouver.
How about that?
So a tap of the stick to her. My take is, imagine how annoyed like her boyfriend was who brought her the game. She's like, can you see that thing in the guy's neck? Like, yeah, we're on the power play right now. Can you watch the game? Imagine how bored this chick was she could recognize there's cancer on the back of the trainer's neck.
But thankfully she did.
Something my wife was at the game.
Well, thank God it was in Seattle and not Philly. Because he wouldn't have believed it. He would have been like, oh, look at this guy says I have cancer. You know, just imagine what they show on their phones in Philly to the coaches. I just can't believe he took it seriously because a lot of people try and get those guys' attention. How lucky he was to actually get the message and also know to take it seriously. It's kind of a perfect circle. You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's cool.
I think it's great for her.
That's why at all my shows now I do mandatory. I have to check everybody. Before the show starts, we do everybody just strips down and we just all look at each other just for a mandatory health check. Just that way when the show's going on,
the people never aren't distracted. The breast cancer one is great. It's the colon cancer test. It's a tough one to the audience.
I was going to say, the problem is I've only been booked at prostate cancer awareness fundraiser. So that's been a bummer.
Next. That's on my calendar for June. I have you opening for me on there too.
I can't wait. Yeah.
Could be any worse than the last time you opened for me. All right, let's do the awards with Colin. No music. We'll do it with Colin around. Fantasy, I don't have an update. You have an update for
me? I'm in second.
Oh, Kyle's back on top.
He's on top. I have more points, though, so I got the tiebreaker. We're sitting there. I'm waiting to beat him.
I got to start repaying attention because now all my guys are kind of healthy again.
Everything's
I had Sid and Jake and everything. So.
Yeah.
The Howie Award goes to the Blues wearing the beachwear. It was the coldest outdoor game ever. That's saying something. Yeah. Didn't they play in Edmonton when it was like the puck froze?
Yeah, the Heritage Classic.
Minus 18.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I mean, it's great for hockey that the fans came out to see that. And we've all been to Minneapolis. Man, you don't even want to be walking down the street there in the winter. You know.
Hey, when I was at the Pittsburgh outdoor game, when it went from 70 to 32, and I went from the press box to outside, I was shaking like Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck with his feet in the water.
One I went to where Sid got hurt, it was balmy and weird. It was not cold at all, but the one in Buffalo was cold and fun.
How about the one in L.A. where it was 80?
Yeah, I know. Kiss played.
You could see the sweat marks on the player's jersey. That was ridiculous.
They played, they can take pneumonia in that game, but they can't take being exposed to COVID. Oh my God, the trainer's wife had COVID, so now Austin Matthews has to sit out for a week and a half because he went to Applebee's with her.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Canada. All right. Dirtbag of the week. Sammy Bennett, my boy. You can't hit Pockhead's head like you did with your, I mean, come on. Is he the new Nazim Kadri? Like he's going to make an extremely stupid mistake when I mean, he already did last year. Is he going to do it this year? That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, guys that play like him and Kadri, it's weird. You bring him in to play right on that line, and then they're going to cross it from time to time. But yeah, he's got to watch it. Another one like that, and he's going to get an 8-gamer. You know what I mean? Like that's going
to
be.
You just don't want to have it happen in Game 5 against the Bolts or against Carolina.
He's on the radar now. He might get Matt Cooked even the next time he does something like that.
I think he's one. I think he's two
one away. Two away from a Matt Cooked.
Two away from Cook. Three away from Rafi Torres. Carrillo.
Oh God, Rafi Torres. That's a name I haven't.
Yeah, heard. How about that?
He's always on the tip of my tongue for assholery. We'll still get a G. We'll still get a G rating. Korea Yamamoto. The Paul Kariya Award to Yamamoto. Yamamoto, he got basically can opener in the net, and then on the delayed penalty scored.
All right,
close off. The Mario first game, first goal, not first shift. Well, not that good, but Bornquist,
yeah, and.
Against the Sharkies.
The first shift, I went, who the hell is 20? I didn't know who he was the first shift. I'm like, who's 20? What is this?
Yeah, I thought it was Luke Robitaille coming back. So.
Robbie Lang. Who's this?
Yeah, Long.
Hey, how good did Brock McGinn look in that game?
Oh, he's all around their best player this year almost.
It's so great.
Dancing around people, looking good.
I mean, if he just took one wacky selfie with his eyeballs, people would have forgot about Tanev 6 months ago. But because Tanev took one goofy picture, you know, he's Jesus Christ. And McGinn, right. And I'll tell you the truth, I watched a lot of Carolina games beforehand because of Aho and stuff. I never noticed Brock McGinn once. He is a solid hockey player, that guy. Yeah. Love him. The Claude Lemieux, Severson out of the box in the back net versus the Boston Bruins.
Sweet.
A lot of skirts. Sean Day of the Tampa Bay Lightning just got housed by Anthony Duclair. It's funny. I look him up. I couldn't find him. He was scratched the next game. Cooper was not happy. He goes, they remember us beating them in the playoffs. I won't forget this.
Ah, wow.
The Tampa Bay Lightning got taken to the woodshed by the Florida Panthers. And let's give the coach a big hand.
Yeah.
I thought losing Q was going to hurt them. They seem to be playing better.
They're doing actually better, yeah.
Yandle, the original skirt on Logan Couture. How great was that? Another flyer, Connaughton on Brandon Lemieux. Brandon Lemieux just owned Connaughton. And then last night, Pietrangelo. You need to do a better job. Phil Forsberg. Wearing Pietrangelo like a suit from Ross, dressed for less. Incredible performance by Phil Forsberg. All right. The Bob Probert, a goal and a fight. The great captain of the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff. He fought Coleslaw. Not an easy fight. And then Pearson of the Canucks fought the guy in Seattle. We'll get to that, to the Goonies. Saves of the week. Halak, now playing in Vancouver. But he did get the only tie in Bruce's tenure. The leg on Kempe was sick. Quick, the blocker on Horvat in that game in overtime. Shachenko on O'Connor. The kid from the Sharks came in. It could have been 40-0 if they kept Reimer in that game Sunday Penguins.
That 1984 crazy-ass game, yeah, no.
But Shachenko made so many saves. I just picked the one against O'Connor. Blackwood of Jersey, the save on Hagelin on the 2-on-1. Bennington, the knob of the stick against Kaprizov in the Winter Classic, or maybe Minnesota comes all the way back. Quickie again on the Atkinson penalty shot. And then Fleury last night, twice. The splits on Rantanen, and then he just highway robbery on Colin Jost. Colin, your save of the week.
My save of the week?
Yes.
So he said, sorry. Oh, man, that's a tough one. I don't know. I just watched. I mean, I was hoping it'd be something from that Sharks-Penguin game.
Well, I just gave you the Shachenko on O'Connor.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was gonna. I was probably gonna say that. Let me just say this, Joe. When you and Andy and Fresh, when you started that Penguin game, how in your heart did you actually know that was going to end up as close as it did? How many times have we seen that before?
Oh, I thought it'd be closer. Oh. I thought no, not closer. I thought it would be not as close, but I thought they'd score four. You know what I mean? I thought it would be, I didn't think they'd go all the way to make it a one goal game. But I love that kid playing. That's probably my save answer. But I love the Bennington save, maybe because I saw it live. But also, I like Bennington now because he takes his anger, and instead of Matt Murray and letting in seven goals in the next two games, he plays well. Whenever Bennington throws a helmet or swipes a stick or gets in a scrum, he has a good four games after that. Watch out for St. Louis and the Bluesers if Bennington plays the way he did that, you know, 2 years ago.
I'll double down on that. Yeah.
I called the Bluesers in September as being a team to watch. The one thing about that was Bibbs gave us a shout out. He's like, oh, all the Penguin fans in California haven't got their coffee yet. And it was 3-0, and then Rusty scored, and it's like, oh, it's gonna get closer. That's just human nature. It's just human nature. It's gonna get closer. But you know, it was fun to finally once wake up and before my coffee have a four goal lead, as opposed to usually I wake up, we're playing the Flyers on at noon, and it's like 3-0. I've already like broken a coffee cup and been pissed for the rest of the day. And that's why I couldn't believe how we have a good record in afternoon national games, because every time I remember, it's either we're losing to the Capitals or the Flyers before I even walk my dog.
Yeah.
Which is only okay. Goonies. Gets, I said, versus Coleslaw. McNabb had two fights. He had two fights, one against Carrick and one against the other guy for the Duckies. That I can't pronounce his name or say his name. The guy from the Nashville, Boreski, he fought Tommy. Rat versus Domestikov. Gudas versus Prezetta. Pearson versus Saucy.
Borkowski.
Smith, your guy, Frage, beat up Middleton. Huberdeau and Coleman going at it. Leon and Reeves. Reeves ran Leon, and Rio went back and just rolled someone for the Rangers. I love seeing Leon get mad. Killington crushed Hagel. Soderblom. Oh, another save. Soderblom from Chicago saved broke Dubé on the breakaway. McCaig runs Koskinen. Lindgren, Cuckoo, Jeannot runs Janmark, Fots, Coleslaw, and then Connor Murphy and Landeskog. Always love seeing the captain go.
Yeah, I like Smith.
Yeah, you got to go with Smith. Yeah. He's a Red Wing.
I give Reeves a lot of crap on the show for his contract and what he brings, but when you're going against the other team's one of the best players in the league and you got his attention, you're doing your job. So I kind of go with Reaver on that one.
Okay.
I like Landeskog going, man. Anytime you see, like you said, a captain going, that's what I used to love about, like, Jamie Benn, man. Like, he was ready to throw down, and I love a captain like that.
Yeah, Ryan Getzlaff, the original Superman. Yeah.
The famous LeCavier versus Ginla in the 04 finals.
Yeah.
The saddest was with Bookerberg. This is you guys' era. Bookberger. He was the captain of Edmonton. He fought everybody. He comes to Pittsburgh, and that was like, you know, the Rico Fatta era.
Yeah, no, he played in Sid's first game.
And he would lose every fight and still fight. It reminded me of Jeff Odgers of the Sharks. Jeff Odgers was the Sharks captain forever before Nolan. He fought every game. He lost every one of them. It's like at some point there's no honor in losing every single fight.
Well, you're the guy taking the punch instead of the other third liner. You know what I mean? Your teammates appreciate that. somebody's got to lose.
That's a guy that doesn't have a friend on the team.
He's got a lot of friends.
Doing anything else?
Look,
out there?
If Joey Kosher is about to punch me, but now he's going to punch you, you're my friend now. Trust me.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Joey won more than half of them, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know you're going to lose to Joey. I'd rather you lose than me.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, yeah. I remember a lot of bad eras of hockey in a lot of different franchises. I remember that Jeff Odgers era.
Well,
that was a tough one.
As a Wings fan, I always loved the Bruce brothers.
Hey, you know, and it's been said, this was on Spinning Chicklets. I'll plug another, like, they don't need my plug. But did you hear the story of the Claude Lemieux? The whole thing was Keith Jones went, when he went to Colorado, he's like, we just couldn't match up with the Detroit Red Wings. He goes, they sent Simon for me. So there was one guy, that, like one, their best goon, was gone. He goes, and then they tried to get physical against Shanny, McCarty, and Koser.
Yeah, nice try.
Yeah, he goes, and that's, and it's the old saying, if you can't beat him in the parking lot, you can't beat him on the ice.
Yeah.
And I've said that for years. It was like when Moses Malone went to Philly. As soon as Shanny went to Detroit, it was over. Because all of a sudden, there's the guy that's going to play top
line. Well, he can play, and he's tough.
Oh, he's my second favorite man of all time that didn't wear the black and gold. All right, a few more stats, then we're out of here. Most points in 2021 calendar year. Jesus, 157. Leon, 135. The great American hero, Austin Matthews, 99. Here's one you didn't see. Jonathan Huberdeau, Hubie Doobie Doo, 99. Nathan MacKinnon, 96. Fewest to 100 goals, U.S. born. The great Jimmy Carson, 261. Austin Matthews, 266. Kevin Stevens, 285. Slippery Rock Joe Mullen, 300. JR, 302. LaFontaine, 305. Old Man Kachuk, 329. Here's an interesting one. Bobby Carpenter. Most people remember him as just a third-line plug, but Bobby Carpenter, 333. And newest member of the 150 club, or whatever. Newest. Cal Connor, your buddy.
Yeah.
336. All right, Colin, one more. Give us one more plug and any dates you want to plug.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you one more plug for it. The album is Hello, It's Me, out everywhere January 7th. I'm free on my YouTube. You can watch the video. You can buy it on iTunes and Amazon, and you can stream it on Spotify. And as far as dates, you can get all my dates on my Instagram, which is Colin_comedy, my website, colincomedy.com. And we got a show together coming up there, Joe. We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, February 5th in Philadelphia.
Awesome. Yeah. Congrats on the album.
I appreciate it. And it's always fun to be on this with you guys. And let's hope we got Joe. You'll recognize the old man's voice in the beginning of it. That's my dad. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All the stars came out. All right. You're the best, buddy. I'll see you in a couple weeks. I'll actually call you as soon as we get do some promo for our gig. But I'll talk to you soon. Good luck on the album. Later. I can't wait to hear it.
Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, buddy. Bye, see you Colin. Guys.
Andy Picaro, any plugs?
You know what? No, not really. Not right now. I come see me at the Jimmy and Joey's Saturdays at Hollywood or Melrose and Vine.
You gotta love Jimmy and Joey.
Everyone does.
Oh my gosh! I'm at the Improv this weekend.
All right. I will be. Where am I this weekend? I'm in Huntington Beach, and then I'm in Hollywood. So here we go. And thank you, Aaron. Producing this madness.
Back and healthy. Great to have him back. And
Fraser Smith back and healthy.
Yep. And thanks, guys. And happy new year to all the Puck Off listeners.
Oh, I want to also plug one more time. Thank you so much to the great Stan Fischler.
Oh, wasn't
for
he
coming
awesome?
On. Wow. And buy his, he has over 100 books. But the newest one has actually been sold out on Amazon, but they're refilling it. Tales from Brooklyn. I mean, what a mensch.
The guy was unbelievable, man.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just the nicest guy. And also to the ghost. I want to thank Casper.
Yeah, he was great.
Two solid weeks.
He was great.
Two solid weeks.
Andy Picaro, thank you. Joe Bartnick, Aaron. This is Fraser Smith. We're Puck Off. We are out.